What's up, everyone? It's Andrew Bermudez, co-founder and CEO of Digzy, the free commercial real estate search engine. We have a great show, but before we get started, I would like to make you aware that if you do like the content we're publishing, if you're watching this on YouTube, please make sure to hit the thumbs up button and also subscribe. That helps us out tremendously. Also, if you're listening to this in an audio podcast, please make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts as it helps us tremendously in making people aware of the content, and we'd love to hear from you on the Apple Podcast. Hopefully, all of you guys are safe and sound in your homes while we go through this troubling time. We wish your families the same. We have a great episode today with the founder of River Rock Real Estate Group, a tiny little company that grew very, very quickly over the years. And I've known John Combs, the founder, for many, many years, and we're going to learn some amazing stuff. We're also going to learn, for all of you commercial real estate professionals, you may find a little nugget of why, if you're a broker or a professional, you should be talking to property managers, because they can actually get you more listings and even help you get more tenant rep clients. So with that being said, here we go to get started. Don't forget to hit the thumbs button, the thumbs up button, and hit the subscribe button, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, please. Okay, getting started. Hello, everyone. It's Andrew Bermudez, co-founder and CEO of Digzy, the free commercial real estate search engine. I'm joined by my co-host Bucky Beeman and Natalie Wainwright. Bucky, where are you from?
I'm from Minnesota.
And what do you do? And what's your company name? And what else? What else? What else?
I'm a commercial real estate agent with Realty Growth Incorporated, small boutique firm based out of Rochester, Minnesota, home of the Mayo Clinic. And I like using social media in an industry that is not using social media to the level they should.
Yeah. What he said. What about you, Natalie?
I'm Natalie Wainwright. I'm with Logic Commercial in Las Vegas. I'm an exclusive tenant rep.
Awesome. And we got our wonderful and amazing, I've been trying to get him on this vlog podcast, audio, video podcast that we've been putting out. Everybody just like, we deliver it in any way, shape, or form we can do. John Combs from River Rock Real Estate. I've known this guy for over 12 years. John, tell us about yourself and thank you for being here.
Well, I hope it didn't take the coronavirus to get me here, but it sure was convenient to do this from home today. My name is John Combs. I founded a company called River Rock Real Estate Group. We are a 30 million square foot managed portfolio of office, industrial, and retail on the West Coast. Looking for new markets. We're in all throughout California and Arizona right now. And I have 130 great professionals that help me achieve and exceed clients' expectations. And we're just really pleased within 16 years, we are at this level. I remember when I started the company, a good friend who was a broker, had his own brokerage firm, said, "You're nuts to start this business because look at this map, a stereo map of Orange County. Most of the properties are owned by institutions that manage their own buildings. What are you going to do?" And it somehow encouraged me to, you know, I was picked last in PE. So it encouraged me. I love challenge. I don't see rejection ever. And we were able to be best in breed and grow in spite of the demands and challenges of, you know, self-managed properties. And at the time, it was a market just about like now, where it was so frothy that no one kept their buildings, they were selling them. And I've always said that property management is a counter-cyclical business. So in a down market, we do better because clients are looking to the right of the decimal point, not the left. And in a frothy market, they want to sell, flip, invest, and flip quickly. But when it gets tough, they want to keep their tenants, they want their tenants to pay their rent. They want us to try to command, you know, operating expenses that are very favorable in the marketplace. And so we become super important. So we always grow in a down market. So while I don't ever pray for one, when it happens, I'm one of the few people that's excited at the dining room tables.
Oh, man. And what is your background, John?
I'm the only person I've met that took a property management class in college. Hmm. I went to SMU, third generation. And I was in the real estate program there, and I took a property management class. And I'll never forget, the instructor said on the final, he wrote me a note. He said, "You know, I'm going to give you a passing grade, but please don't get in this industry because you misspelled tenant with two N's. And you need to know how to spell tenant." So then I was panicked, and here I am years later running a huge real estate company. But I do know how to spell tenant, although we call them customers and clients now, not tenants.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. I love that you even think of the tenants that way. That's actually pretty awesome. Like, for example, at our company,
we don't call each other employees or my CEO or anything. We call each other partners. And that's how we want people to feel, because it just puts a way to running the company and the culture in a different perspective. So
that's awesome. I love that. Call our employees rock stars, and our training class is called Rock You. And Bucky, you like that?
I like it.
Yeah. Awesome. And we just try to play off of the River Rock theme, and it's fun and lighthearted, but it's also, we have the programs we need to compete with the global companies, which is quite interesting when you're on a competitive platform like we are, being a privately held, regional company trying to compete for the big accounts with these big global companies. But we're doing our job, and I appreciate it.
So in your background, you were in Insignia. So tell us a little bit about that, because Insignia was actually a well-known company as well, and they got acquired as well. So you were over there. So tell us a little bit about, okay, you took this class in college, then what'd you do, and how'd you land at Insignia, and then, how you made the transition into River Rock.
Sure. So in college, I had a property management class, and you had to intern. So I interned at a big development company based in Dallas at the time called Vantage. They're no longer around. But I was probably one of the only male workers in property management, and I was certainly the only one who had a graduate degree. So I got shot up in the career ladder, corporate ladder, and as the economy went really, really down, I looked at what were similar risks but greater returns. And I do that in key points in my career and with the company, and I'll talk about that later on. So I decided that I really love California, and my ex-wife at the time's family lived here. So we moved to Orange County, and I went to work for John O'Donnell. We built John O'Donnell's company from 6 million feet to 24 million feet in 6 years, and sold it to Insignia. Insignia was in the apartment management business. They had 300,000 apartments. They were huge, but they had not done commercial. So we were their first commercial acquisition. And I was the only executive and partner at O'Donnell that went to work for Insignia. And 6 years later and 30 acquisitions later, I was leading the property services and management and leasing business, 300 million square feet. Obviously, if we got one more square foot, I had not managed or run a company that big. So clearly, they wanted to get a return on their acquisitions. And so I kept getting promoted up. And then 16 years ago, CBRE bought Insignia, and that's when I started River Rock. I was thinking about starting a union for property managers, because at the time, through all the those transactions, I saw that no one in property management had any rights. Or, the janitors had unions, the engineers had unions, the guards had unions, but no one in property management. We had to, we were very vulnerable. And I didn't like that. So I started thinking about starting a union for property managers to give them the rights that I felt, was adequately deserved. But then I realized it was crossing one of my tenets in running a business. And that is, whenever you make a change in your career, you want to lever it up. You want to take whatever you've done to that point and then lever that into something else. It can be a different platform, but you work too hard to get those relationships to then go against them. So I said I would be very popular with my peer group in property management if I started this union, but all those clients I'd worked so hard for all those years to get would hate me, and why would I do that? So that's when I came up with the idea of starting River Rock, because I wanted to start a company that gave our staff, our rock stars, the rights that they deserve, but without the union. So the clients are happy because they hate turnover. They want staffs that are loyal to the properties and what their goals and objectives are. And I don't have any turnover. We were rated best company to work for the past 9 years of entering. And that's one of the key performance indicators I have for this whole business of all these people. And this huge payroll is that I want to be the best company to work for. And we work really hard to do that. And it changes. What you wanted 6 years ago from your firm is very different than what you want today. And so what we're finding is we have this multi-generational platform of people all wanting something different, and what they wanted yesterday and they were really happy about that we could win best company for, guess what? Next year they want something different. So we have to really be in touch, really listen, really contemplate what they're asking for or what they now need. And the biggest lesson learned is if we don't agree or we can't perform to what they're needing, we tell them why. And I found most times people, if you tell them why there's a reason, they might be thrilled about the solution, but at least they know why it was arrived at the where we went. So we are really fortunate to have happy people. I think happy people get better service. And that's kind of one of our mottos.
That's pretty awesome, John. So I got a question, and I want to angle it especially for the commercial real estate professionals that listen to this podcast. So one of the key things that you did, which is super hard, is when you left O'Donnell and went to Insignia, and then you started River Rock. Now you're competing with Insignia, who's, you know, CBRE now, and it's got a big portfolio of customers. You know, how are you able to grow in such a competitive industry? Because I think, you know, you have brokers out there on the tenant rep side trying to break into big accounts, right? You have, I mean, everybody looks at a broker and thinks they're commoditized. Everybody looks at a property management company or property manager and thinks they're commoditized. Like, how are you able to break through and win accounts from that? And this can be even for listing brokers who are trying to break into an institutional landlord or more of a larger, like, how do you differentiate yourself? Like, how were you able to start a company from scratch? I'm sure you already had some relationships, which that helps, but how are you able to, you know, go in and win these institutional landlords and win business that when you're just brand new, essentially?
I have a funny story to tell you. You know, whatever you are as a company, you have to learn how to overcome objections or obstacles, right? And we all have them. If you're a global company, you have to convince the client that you're global, but you're still, they're really important to them, to you. And you're going to service them. They're not going to get lost in the big C. When you're a startup, you have to convince people that you have the infrastructure and the wherewithal to not only establish a business, but it's sustainable. It will continue forward. It's not going to go under in the next year or two. And every big institutional owner, there's a committee that has to approve, right? So they might want to hire River Rock, and the committee goes, isn't that a casino in Northern California? Or is that Rockstar, the drink? What, River Rock? Who is River Rock? And so it took, you know, I always say that you have to tell three people three times a day about your company, no matter what year you're in or how old you are or how big it is, because there's people out there that don't know what you are. So I feel like that I built it first. I put $1 million of my own money into the infrastructure, the accounting, the senior team. And I hate to say we built it and it would come, because I didn't know if it would, but it did. And it took friends who knew that we were committed to this and trying to create an environment that would really service their properties better than anyone else. I've always said that in our business, it's almost like a personnel business. We have to find the right property team, including leasing, that has similar parallel experiences to what that property is experiencing or is challenged with. And while the world is not level and playing field, if you can get the best team on site, you're gonna win it. And so that was our approach. We were going to customize it. We weren't going to be a number. Our executives were going to stay involved. They didn't just sell the business and then go to the next opportunity. We don't have salespeople. And we're broker neutral. We don't have brokerage. We work with all brokers. We're not a threat to them. They don't have to worry that we're going to try to get in their client's, you know, business and take business away from them or get rid of them. They know that we will help them, support them, because we need the property to be successful. It's a much more holistic approach. Whereas these big global internal teams, many times they're meeting each other outside the door of the client's office. I mean, they don't work together. They're just assembled together for a pitch. And we just really are able to show that we have this esprit de corps, and it's a really great relationship with all these brokerage firms around. They can be one-off guys. They can be, you know, big global platforms. And what we're finding interesting is some of these big global platforms, they're not comfortable recommending their management staff. And they don't want to recommend them, and they get fired on the management and the listing agreement. So they'll bring in us as best in breed for property management. We're not a threat. We're there to make them look good. And we certainly will reward them if we win an assignment. So I think that that's been most of the, you know, things that I've learned is you have to have best owned staff. You have to have executive leadership and involvement. You have to build the infrastructure so that you're a safe bet. And, it takes friends and client companies to rally you on so that you can pass those committee tests. And I want to end with a quick story on that one, in that my very first pitch was an Israeli offshore investment company who had a local U.S. correspondent looking to find a management company for them. And it was my very first pitch. And we went through all the questions, and I have this classic question at the end. I said, is there anything that I can answer that you haven't asked me that would convince you to hire us? You know, when you have children that you ask those questions, you go, what question would I ask you? You know, I want the answer that I haven't asked you yet. Go on and fess up what's going on, you know? So she said, well, we only do business with people whose names are on the door. And I don't know how I pulled this rabbit out of a hat, but I said, well, you know, I was going to call it Combs Commercial Property Management, but I didn't know if people would want to do business with P. Diddy. So I named it River Rock. And she laughed. She said, we can move on now. And I won the assignment. Shocking. I won it.
That's funny. Awesome.
But how are you? You always have obstacles, and you just have to do your best to plan for them. And then I think if you don't have the right strategy to answer that question, because many times these obstacles you don't see, right? They're individualized. You just have to be honest. And I always say, after I answer a question, if I'm a little unsure about it, I go, did I answer your question? Was that what you were hoping you would hear? What is there anything we need to talk more on that? Because I don't want an obstacle in a pitch to drive me not winning the assignment, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally. I do that with, you know, I'm the CEO of the company, so I deal with a lot of teams. And whenever I end a conversation, I go, hey, any questions? Do you fully understand this? You know, did I miss something, et cetera? Because there has to be this clear communication so like that both people or all the stakeholders are on the same page.
Right.
Because it not only helps you win the business, but at the same time, it lets you understand the customer, sure. Which really, it's not about winning the business, it's about keeping the business as well, right?
A big breakthrough for me was also in interviewing. If there would be someone that had a mannerism or something they would say, they would refer to someone in a way I didn't think was very, you know, maybe was more insightful, that they weren't, objective, or they had prejudices or whatever. And so I've learned in interviews, if you have an issue inside that is not real positive on this person, ask them more about that component in different ways to either validate your concern or get it over with. So, because sometimes someone just says something or they have a mannerism and it just keeps you from hiring them, and they're great people. And you can't afford in today's market, as tight as the labor market is, to not hire that right person. I remember when I never interviewed because I got the job in Dallas after SMU, after entering there. I remember coming to California to interview with O'Donnell, and I read a book, How to Get the Job You Want, Not the One You Have. And in the back it said, don't eat a meal in your interview because you might have a mannerism in eating that turns them off and you don't get the job. It has nothing to do with your abilities or if you would be great at it. And so the plane was late, so I went to the partner's office at O'Donnell. They said, you know, we don't have time to go to lunch, so we've ordered in sandwiches. And I went, oh no, you know, because I don't have good luck, trust me. And so they ordered the sandwiches. They came in on hard Kaiser rolls with the, you know, meat in the sandwich. And I bit it, and the meat shot out the sandwich and landed on the managing partner's desk where he was eating. I said, well, it was going so well till now. Everybody laughed, and I got the job, thank God. But, I mean, I was horrified that lunch meat was shooting across the table to him.
Oh, man, that's like a cartoon.
That's something that would happen to me.
So one more question, John, before I turn it over to our co-host. So when you, like the Israeli company, right, like who are like three critical types of professionals that like help you break through into accounts like that? Is it brokers? Is it landlords? Is it past relationships? Like who are like the three critical commercial real estate professionals in the periphery that are critical to you growing your business?
Well, let me start with saying, if you enter a marketplace, right, that you haven't been in before, and you hire this incredible leader in that market, and everybody goes, well, that's a fluke. How did they come to this market and get Mary or Steve or whatever? And you hire them, and you really are searching, and you have a little luck growing, and you hire the second person, and you hire another great second in command. They're going to go, oh my gosh, they know what they're doing. They're, you know, so real estate people love to talk. So they talk much bigger than what's actual reality in life. And I think that what we have to do is we have to, and the most difficult person in this whole scheme is the broker, because the broker has a lot to lose. If they have a relationship that they have had that listing for years, they don't want to disrupt it, right? And so they ought to be super careful and either recommending or winking to the client that they think that there's a good manager or a good management team, but they want the best for the client, but they want to be sure they're not hurt, right? So the broker is the most complicated one to help us, but many times they are very convincing because they've developed a reputation with the client where they trust them and they know what they're doing and they know they don't want to mess it up either, or it's income to them. So the broker is a key component in this. And most people, I think if you ask them, well, what's the most surprising thing about River Rock in the past 16 years? They would say, well, that they grew so big with that brokerage. But we use that as a lever, as a way to get into accounts that we probably wouldn't get in otherwise. If I had been a competitive global company, those brokers wouldn't have recommended us, and they would have fought hard to keep us out. So I think it really, really did help us. Our weakness became our strength. The second thing is, it's so difficult to hire. I mean, even in a down market when there's a lot of people, not necessarily the people you want to get are the people available for work. Sometimes you have great people that were laid off, or the property sold and you can snag a jewel that wouldn't necessarily be available. But for the most part, in an up or down market, it's so hard to find the right people. And so one of the things that's really helped us in that is by winning this best company. Everybody knows it. It's the first time we differentiated from all our competitors that are commoditized. And I think that really helps us recruit. The other part of that recruiting is we wanted to make sure our office wasn't this boring commercial real estate company with workstations. So when you walk into our space, I wish I could show it to you today, but if you walk into our space, it almost feels like a spa, and it's very calming and relaxing. And it's a place where we can meet people, greet them, and recruit them. And people always comment on what an amazing space this is. It's just not expected. And I don't think anyone ever expected River Rock or John Combs to get ahead in the world. And it's just so exciting to see that. The other part is, I want to tell you, as I mentioned earlier, the best people on site win the assignment. And the most creative people who have had those experiences on site win. And so it's really a challenge to find the right property manager, the right construction manager, and the right broker. But those are my three categories to success. And if I told you my secret sauce, I'd have to kill you.
All right. Well, so it sounds like the broker's the critical component and the critical professional in your business.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I got a question, John.
Yeah. Sure.
With the current climate, what are the three biggest challenges you're seeing for your company and in today's era of where we're at?
Well, the coronavirus, biohazard, no one anticipated or planned for. I mean, there have been horror movies about it, but there's horror movies about a lot of things that no one planned for. They just pray it never happens. So we are seeing, email activity, traffic's up double, triple. It's active instead of, 9 hours, it's active 14 hours a day. I get such fatigue on email and texting by 4 o'clock. I just have to go for a walk. I can't deal with it. It's just crazy. But I think, one of the biggest challenges was this whole fire hazard, which now I'm reading, they say could happen again and again and again. So we have to now prepare for that. The second thing is, it's a very capital intensive business, property management. It's a people business, and people can walk out the door if they're not happy. And that is it's a death knell in property management. So finding people and keeping people and having the capital to invest in people is critical. And so I think that would be a big part of it. And then lastly, if you're growing and you're a successful company, which growth is one of the components of, I think, measuring success, you have to have leaders that can move up, because we like homegrown. We can teach them how to do it our way, but we want to help them and we want them to stay. And young people like the three of you, you want to feel like your careers are moving forward and that you're influencing the organization, and that the organization is, you don't have to grow when the organization grows, you grow when you grow, right? So we've created a whole emerging leaders program, and we've picked our top 12 most promotable people at all levels in different departments. And we're giving them intensive training on leadership. How do you say no? How do you give a job performance review that's not positive, but keep the people? How do you let staff know when you're unhappy with something they've performed, but you don't want them to get depressed? How do you help people with time management problems? What about the most intensive, most passionate employee who's having a stressed out, you know, breakdown? How do you deal with that? And so we have trainers and we have groups and we have mentors, and we're really trying to take our emerging leader program to a whole new level. And then lastly, the other thing that we're really working on is ESG. And we brought in Dave Pogue from CBRE, who ran their global program. And he's doing amazing things with us, learning how to measure and quantify ESG and make sure, because we want to be that company with a high score, that we're on the right track to do that. And he's now our chief strategy officer, making sure we achieve that. And I think ESG, especially with this biohazard pandemic, is going to be super important to everybody. And so it starts with taking care of our employees and making sure they're healthy.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
Why don't you take...
I had a virtual training session today with my Equinox trainer. And I thought to myself, you know, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm going to put my phone up on FaceTime, which it makes me look 100 years old. And I'm going to be working out with him telling me what to do in the on the back porch. And it turned out wonderful. And then I thought to myself, I would really, this is so
I'd
much
like
easier.
To be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, I don't have to drive to the gym. I can just go downstairs, do my workout. You know, it's a lot about body weights anyway in the future and bands, you know, elastic bands and stuff. So I said, and I can just go shower and I'm done. I'm back at work. This is, how efficient is this and how easy? And then I was like, yeah, but I miss my friends and I miss seeing my competitors. And I miss seeing my, the brokers that are at the gym on the treadmill next to me, you know, talking about deals. And I miss all that terribly. So, you know, we're finding and we keep surveying our employees because we went from basically a desk dominated position to commuting. We did 130 people in 5 days. I was really, really happy. I did my first Zoom meeting last Friday with tomorrow. We have our all Zoom, all employees dining for the first time in, grabbing a funny hat day. And gonna do a contest on that and see if everybody can get zoomed in.
That's a good idea.
You know, with different age groups, some people know how to do it and some people don't. And so it's been really interesting to watch us all stretch a bit on that. But you know, I try to be really involved on social media, and I only do it because it helps us recruit.
Yeah, that makes sense. Seeing the leader it's
amazing on social media how you can. You can go see someone you haven't seen in 5 years and they know all about you. You're just like, how do you know that? Yeah. Well, I'm following you on LinkedIn or I see you on Twitter or Instagram. I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
With the professionals that you're working with in your team now, what are some things that you see are needed for improvement? You know, where can young professionals or just people that are trying to climb in the company, where can they improve?
The thing that makes me the most angry, and I try to tell everyone this all the time, they still do it, is we want people that other people want. Does that make sense? Why would I want a team that no one wants? I mean, I'm in the business of selling those teams to property owners to be put on their properties. So we want people that other people want. And if you're recruited by somebody, which is a wonderful, it's good for your ego, it makes you feel good, and it's kind of a check-in on how's my career doing, right? And am I marketable? And so I encourage people to go on these interviews, but don't accept a position without talking to us first, because I'm not a mind reader and I have no idea if you're thrilled or not, but I know we have plans for you, but I haven't gotten to you yet to tell you, or I've been waiting for this to happen in the company to tell you where you're going next. This is why we decided to do this emerging leader program, because we had people we wanted to be sure knew we wanted them. They would get promoted and they were being watched and tapped and they had to perform, right?
Yeah.
So I hate it when someone accepts another job and then comes in, because you're already emotionally drained. You're Laura, you wouldn't work with us, but you're drained by making that guilty decision to leave and having to come tell us. I know we're going to freak out because we love you, right? And then I have to neutralize it and try to get them, convince them. And it's probably 9 out of 10 times I would do this, but convince them why they should stay. Then it's a whole emotional journey. Come back to being neutral, make the right decision on should I go or not. And it's really, it puts us at a huge disadvantage. But the most important part is if you work so hard at a company and you're really good, that's why other people want you. Check it out with the company you're at before you go obligate to leave them. And so this lever up thing I'm talking about, you know? So sometimes people are given opportunities that we just know it's right for them now. We don't have it available. It's time for you to go do that. Maybe you can come back. And sometimes the boomerang, they do come back, which is awesome. They go get that experience. They want to come back to our firm, but they come back at a higher level. Some people, we think it's not the right opportunity. Don't take it. Let us tell you why we don't think you're ready. And sometimes their ego tells them, their spouse tells them, you know, money tells them. But that's completely different.
Well, John, kind of in the same vein, what about when you're working with brokers and other people? What are a couple of your pet peeves when you're working to get that deal done or get that listing or, you know, whatever the case is?
I think that if people would just tell you the honest truth and not what you want to hear, it's much better. And it's okay to understand what the client wants. I used to say we were hired for our opinions, and now I say we're hired to make the client's opinions work. Does that make sense? So it's he who can execute what they want. And I think a pet peeve for mine is if someone tells you what they think the owner wants, but they're not in touch, the owner doesn't know. That's a huge pet peeve of mine. The other is we all have weaknesses. And I don't know about you guys, but when I do reference checks, I keep going till I find the weakness. I mean, I don't want all the good stuff. I want to know what the things are that person could improve on, right? And we all have those. And people that don't see their weaknesses or won't articulate them are not, to me, trustworthy, and I don't want them. I mean, I've told you all some of my weaknesses just now. I mean, we all have them. It's part of life, and then you can manage through that. And so what I find is some of the people that we interview from the big companies, it's so political, and they're so afraid to make a mistake, and they're so afraid to be transparent. And I think you're only as good as your last mistake. So, you know, I just want you to be real, and I want you, when you make a mistake, to get it up to the top level as soon as possible so we can help you, you know, get out of it or fix it.
That's nice.
I've never had someone, a client, and when I made a mistake, call them and say, I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. Here's what happened. Here's my ideas to make it better. I've never had a client go, you're fired. They're like, well, thank you for telling me. Thanks for thinking it through. I like your idea or I don't. Here's what I want you to do, right? So I just think you got to be honest in this world. And it's, if you can't be, you're in the wrong company, wrong firm.
Yeah.
A pet peeve of mine is people that don't have enough confidence in themselves to say when they're in over their head or they don't know what they're doing or, you know, they got it covered. I'll give you an example. I don't know how to do Excel. I know how to read Excel spreadsheets, but I don't know how to prepare Excel. And when I have to hire people that need to know Excel, I'll go, do you know how to do Excel? And I mean, do you really know how to do it? Can you open your computer and do a spreadsheet right now? And when I ask them twice, a lot of times they go, no, I'm not really that proficient in it. And I say, well, I'm glad you told me now because we were going to test you. And if you had lied, you wouldn't get the job. I mean, I just think you got to be fair and, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why we do pre-testing now, because some people think their opinions of themselves are much higher in their abilities on Excel than they really are.
It sounds like it rolls back to the thing, like, don't tell me what I want to hear. Just be transparent with me.
Absolutely. I think so.
So, hey, John, this has been great. And what message do you want to communicate to commercial real estate pros, brokers, potential recruits, et cetera, before we sign off?
We are so easy to work with, and we need really great, talented people in all areas of commercial real estate. If you're interested in coming to joining us, I always ask questions, what do you need to be successful? What do you need from me? And how long do I have to wait till there's a return on that money? And I really believe that anyone can come join us with their passion and be successful at it. I also think that we're refreshing, and that if you want to have an environment where you're supported and you can be yourself, and it doesn't matter what diversity you feel you have, we're the right spot for you. And we're there to service that client, and we want to be the best company in our markets.
And, you know, one thing that we didn't touch on that I would like to have a message for is the tenant rep brokers bring you deals. Like, what message do you have for them?
Well, I hired a tenant rep broker because our lease is coming up, and I wanted, we don't do tenant rep. And so I wanted to really try to learn from the best of the best in the tenant rep business. So I hired Savills, and they are doing a great job. And what I've learned is that we don't know as a firm sometimes, we're not in this business of moving ourselves to other space. So we're learning a lot about, it's been 10 years. What does the firm need in technology? They want, you know, stand, sit desks, things that might be common to all of you, and because you're setting up your offices, that we haven't done for 10 years. So there's a lot out there in technology and in ergonomics and just, well, for example, we have a coffee lunchroom. We don't have a cafe. I think we all know the difference between a cafe and a lunchroom. Our lunchroom's in a all enclosed, ugly space. We want a cafe with lights and windows. And if we can open the door and go in and out, great. So things have really changed in the real estate world. And we aren't tenant rep brokers. So we just interface on the properties we manage with these tenant rep brokers and try to listen to them, what they, their clients' perceptions are of the building and how we can change the path of travel or improve the quality of the path of travel as they come in the buildings and things. But for us now as a user, I now see how important the tenant rep broker is and their skill sets. And they're trying to figure out when we say, well, we want that conference room. Do we mean the 20-foot conference room table, or do we want two 10-foot conference room tables with a partition? I mean, they know how to ask the questions to help us figure it out. So we just did a whole visioning board of what we want the space to look like. And it was so interesting because we all kind of agreed on the image that we're going to try to drive, which is going to change our brand. And I've got to change that brand now in 23 offices once we finalize what we're going to do in the home office. Notice I don't call it corporate office, I call it the home office. The home office will drive the brand going forward in our relocation. So, you know, you're talking about a major move, all new equipment, all new furniture, all new workstations. But, you know, we have all these old desks. We need to get rid of those and get stand sit desks and things like that. So I'm super excited about it. We're going to do some hoteling that we've been surveying people, and from coronavirus and people working from home, it's forcing some of us to see that it can work, or at least partly. And these tenant rep brokers are all trying to figure out the psyche of the user today, and it's evolving every week in the past 3 weeks, I can promise you. And there's all these theories about, well, you know, like I said about my Equinox trainer, people miss the people. They're going to want to go back to the offices. They thought they wanted to work from home, but maybe only a couple of days a week. But there's people, you know, like Natalie said, I've got two kids here and a dog and a cat, and I don't want to work here anymore. I want to go back to the office every day. So
get me back to the office, guys. I'm going crazy. Yeah.
See, so it's all over the board, and whatever it is today, in 3 weeks, it's going to change. We're all finding out about ourselves doing this, and what works and what doesn't. And so I can assure you that of 130 employees tomorrow on our Zoom, which I didn't even know what Zoom was until a week ago, 130 people dialing in on Zoom is going to be quite interesting with our multi-generational workforce. And I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be fun. And I've had to have our brand manager call every person to make sure they're set up, whether it be their phone at home or their workstation or whatever they have. And it's been, we only had 3 people out of 130 that didn't have computers at home. I was still shocked by that. I thought there would be none. I thought everybody had a computer at home.
That's interesting.
We're learning a lot.
That's so
great
awesome.
Question.
So how can people get a hold of you, John? And I mean, is it LinkedIn, Twitter, email? I mean,
all of it.
Website.
All of it. LinkedIn, Twitter, email, Instagram.
What's your handle, John?
John Combs, C-O-M-B-S, C-R-E.
I'm going to look for you right now.
Thank you. Join it. And I think I have 3 followers. And I'm not like Bucky, but I want to be Bucky when I grow up.
That's awesome. I know. I want to be Bucky too. He's amazing, isn't he?
Unbelievable.
Are you going to share all the handles and everything at the bottom of the video so people can?
Yeah. So all of you watching and listening in the comments, there's on at least on YouTube, find the YouTube video and we'll have all of the information so that you can connect with John and his organization, River Rock.
Thank you so much. And I do hope you all be safe and well. It's a very interesting time. Yeah.
Thank you for that, John. We really appreciate it. Thank you for joining us, Bucky, Natalie. Great questions. Thank you all. Really appreciate it. And catch you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.